Hello, I'm Jill E. McCormick, and welcome to JillEMcCormick.com, where you'll find common sense grace just for you, the try-hard girl. This is the blog for those who want to give and receive grace, but don't know exactly how to do that. It's a place for those who struggle to embrace how they're wired, but really want to do so. It's a little corner of the internet where you can hear Bible-based truths about how Jesus meets you in real life. Now, on to today, where we're going to talk all about personalities and marriage. And how fun is it that my husband Ryan is here with me to talk about personality differences in marriage, personality differences as you parent, and habits for a healthy marriage. So, Ryan, welcome.
Hello.
So, for those of you listening, we are going to make this super practical. And Ryan, will you share, though, before we get started, will you share how we met?
We went to high school together, and we were both in band. And yes, that is how we met.
Yes, it was in the early 90s, and we were both in band, and Ryan played the trumpet, and I played percussion. And at the first day of summer band, I saw Ryan across the asphalt parking lot, and I was like, that is the cutest boy I have ever seen. And it took us a couple of years, but we became friends, like your group of guy friends were friends with my group of girlfriends. And then our senior year, we started dating. So we have been either dating, engaged, or married for over 25 years, right?
Yeah.
Does that sound right? So in a couple weeks, at the end of May, we are celebrating our 20th anniversary. And so before we dive into today, into the principles that we're going to talk about, we want to be very clear about a couple of things. We are not marriage counselors. We're not therapists. We're not psychologists. We have no licensing at all. We just have 20 years of marriage under our belts. So that's a good thing. And also, we're talking about marriage within the context of a healthy marriage. And obviously, if there is an abusive situation, that is a situation that needs to be addressed. But we are talking about two healthy people in a healthy marriage that is not perfect. We are not perfect, but we enjoy being together. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So, Ryan, you and I are very different. So will you share with those listening a little bit about my personality, and then I'll share a little bit about your personality.
Okay. Well, I think we can already see who is the writer and why you're the writer in the family. You're very outgoing, and an extrovert and a type 3.
Yes, on the Enneagram.
Now that I've learned about the Enneagram. yeah.
And I would say you love people. You very much love people, but you don't get your energy from people. You're more of a homebody. You are analytical, where I am more emotional. And I think you're more deliberate in your decision-making process. Like, there's more thoughtfulness in how you make a decision. And Ryan is a type 1 on the Enneagram. So that is the reformer or the perfectionist. And so I think because of that, you want to do everything right. Like, you follow best practices and you want to live life right and do the right thing, which are very good things. So would you say that's accurate?
Yes.
Did I just give you accurate?
Yeah.
But I will say, and I think you'll back me up on this, that as much as we are different, we do share the same faith and the same values.
Yes.
So our personalities are different, but our worldview is very much in alignment.
Yeah.
With each other. All right. So we are wired differently. And I'm guessing that most people listening who are married are wired differently from their spouse. So we're going to talk about personality differences in marriage. And let's talk about how do we accommodate each other? Because you're more introverted, I'm more extroverted. You like being a homebody, and I like being not a homebody. I like being out. So obviously there's some conflicts there because on a Friday night, you may want to do something different than I do. So how do we work through those things?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess going back to when we were, like one thing that comes to mind, when we were first married, always in my brain, it was like, I guess my mom handled, you know, a lot of the banking, checkbook, day-to-day stuff. So I just kind of figured when we got married, you would do that. And so I passed all that off to you. And I don't know why I thought that would make sense since I had a degree in accounting. And
I was liberal arts.
But I just, in my head, it was just, okay, well, here you go. This is, you know, this is yours now. And then, then looking at the checkbook, it was, you know.
It was clear. I did not know what I was doing.
Yeah. So, ever since then, I've taken over that, which is fine. I mean, I don't mind doing it at all. It's just, I don't know why. There's sometimes you go in with assumptions that of how things are going to be, not good or bad assumptions, just, and, but then you have to adapt and.
Yes. Monitor and adjust.
Yeah.
Right. And I think for me, one of the big ways we've had to accommodate each other is because I get so much energy from being around people, and I just love being around a lot of people a lot of the time. And Ryan, that is just not his thing. That he loves people, but it just depletes him to a certain extent. And so New Year's Eve has always been a big point of contention for us because I imagine that we will be invited to some sort of schmancy ball where we all dress up and look amazing. Although none of our friends have this kind of party. I don't know where I'm getting this. But in my mind, we should be at this big extravagant ball at midnight. And then, because I know you don't like going out, I'm like, but I want to go out. And you're like, but I don't want to be out with a whole bunch of crazy people at midnight. And that doesn't sound fun to me. And so we've had to work through that. And just this year, we figured out how to do that. And it was by hosting a party with a very small, intimate group of friends, people we love, know, trust, and we hosted the party at noon. So they were gone by 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and then we had the rest of the afternoon and the evening, and we went to bed, not at midnight. But I got my fix of people, and you got to go to bed at the time you wanted to go to bed. And so I think part of accommodating each other is recognizing strengths and weaknesses and finding a partial solution, because I may want to be at a party until midnight, but that's just not going to happen. And so how can we compromise? Are there any other things you would say?
I think that's part of the good thing of, I like hanging out with people, but for some reason, it's just not my default. And once I go and we're with people or whatever, I have a great time and enjoy it. But again, if you ask me, hey, do you want to go hang out with people? That's just like, I don't know, my default is to say no. I don't know why. But so it's good that I, you know, you sometimes you draw me in, force me in, whatever you want to say. So because then once we go, and then I have a great time and So yeah, it's good to have that balance.
Yes, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit, because we approach life very differently. You approach life more methodically and analytically, and there's a plan. And I can be more emotionally driven, and I feed a lot on how I feel about certain things, even if it's not based in fact. So what would you say, because there are lots of couples out there who they are wired differently. So how would you say that they can reconcile those personality differences and how they process information? Like maybe I'm a more in the moment personality and you're more of a, what will this look like when we retire? What do we need to look now? So you may be more future focused, whereas I'm like, but it's fun right now. And we have to balance that out. So what would you say to people?
With us, I just, whenever we're talking about stuff, I try to be patient and I know with you, if you have an idea of something or something you want to do or whatever it is, like you want to get it out and tell me everything about it and which is great. And I've had to learn to, I just sit and listen and I'm not going to try to, if I think of something like, oh, well, that's not going to work or that's, you know, I don't mention that at the time. I just let you get everything out. I don't try to shape what you're saying. I just kind of let you talk and tell me everything about it. And then we can go back and discuss like, well, you know, have you thought about this or what about this or why don't, and yeah, go about that way.
So I think it comes down to patience because you're patient with me and it's asking, it's asking good questions because
yeah.
You won't say that's a dumb idea and here's why.
Right.
You say, but have you thought about how this impacts the girls' schedules or have you thought about what that would look like on the weekends? And I'm like, oh, no, I had not thought of that. So I think you're a good question asker. And I think for some of us, we just need to brain dump all of our ideas out, like a big brainstorming session. And brainstorming, there's no bad idea. You just let all the ideas sit there for a minute, and then you...
Yeah. Yeah, I try to not be the Debbie Downer. I try to just, you know, let you... And again, I mean, you have great ideas. I mean, that's part of what makes you great. So I've learned I need to listen to them and try to figure out a way for them to make them work or versus like poking holes in them or something.
Right. So. Well, I think also for me, it's respecting that we are two different people. And just because it's not how I would do it and it's not my way doesn't mean that your way is wrong. It just means we are different and I understand the differences. And now we need to move forward together, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, let's close out the marriage part here with what are some tips you would give for people who do have those different personalities? How can they navigate marriage in a positive way?
Yeah, I think just being, helping each other out, knowing that, you know, again, I'm kind of quote unquote the practical one, but that doesn't mean I'm right. And so being humble and knowing that, again, you have, you draw out the best in me and you have my best interests in mind. And so, again, not just looking at everything like my ideas or my thoughts are somehow better or anything, but listening to you
I think it,
I don't know.
I think it comes
words.
I think it does come down to the fact when you're navigating a situation or a decision with someone who's wired totally differently than you, they see the world differently than you. I think it's important to be patient. I think it is important to be humble, to remember your idea or way or viewpoint is not the only one and is not always right. And I say that for me. My way is not always right. And so it's good to listen out to Ryan. And I think it's also something Ryan knows about me. So if you don't know this already about your spouse, know what their values are. Like for me, it's being around people. And it is the opportunity to be creative and it's the opportunity to make an impact. And he knows that those are values of mine. So he supports my values. Now, will my big dreams and ideas always work within the context of the reality of our family? No, but we can shape them together because I think what is incredibly important when you're navigating a big decision and you feel like you're on opposite sides of the issue with your spouse is to remember that you are on the same team and it's the issue that's the problem. It's not the person who is the problem. You're not fighting with your spouse. You just have a disagreement with your spouse, but the issue is the real problem. So I think that to me is important to know, like, you're always on my side. We just may see things differently, but we're going to figure it out together.
Yeah.
And I think another big thing is, as the wife, the Bible talks all about this, and it is, I submit to Ryan's authority. God set up a structure for the family in the Bible, and it talks about how the husband is the head of the house. And so when it comes to how much should we put away for retirement, or where should we go for vacation, if we even take a vacation, or where should we move, or should I apply for this job, he and I talk through that. I don't try to figure that out on my own, and Ryan doesn't try to figure it out on his own. We talk about it as a team, and then Ryan makes the final decision. And whatever Ryan decides, I know he's taken in my input, my feelings. He's done his own research because he loves to research, and then he makes the final decision. And I respect that. And I know you love me, and I know you love our girls. So the decisions you make are in our best interest. Well, speaking of our girls, we're talking about personality differences as you parent. So, Ryan, you're an Enneagram Type 1, the reformer, and you're more of an introvert. So how does being a perfectionist impact how you parent?
Yeah, I think part, I'd say one of the difficulties is being, trying to step back and let them do things, because they have to do things and learn, and learn on their own, and not me just stepping in and going, no, this is the right way to do it, and this is how you need to do it. But trying to take that step back and let them learn on their own, and guide them at the same time with that and all that. It helps out. Our oldest is like a carbon copy of you. And so in her personality and so I kind of have
so
good,
sorry. Two of us.
No, I have great practice, and we get along great. Cause I know exactly, talking with her is very natural to me because it's similar to talking to you. It's just very natural in how I talk with her and how she reacts to me, how I react to her. It's just very natural to me because I'm used to it, and it's so.
Yeah, and I think for me, I'm an achiever, Type 3 on the Enneagram, and so I trend toward task comes first, and we have to, you need to do these things in this order, and I want to instill responsibility, and I have a lot of rules, and I think it is important that I acknowledge that. So as you parent, and I have a whole blog post about how your personality impacts how you parent, and I'll put it in the blog post here, but I think it's important to know that your personality does impact how you raise your kids, that you have certain values based upon how you're wired, and you discipline kids in ways that are in alignment with your personality. And so I think it's important just to know how you're wired and to know that it does make an impact. But I think that's why having two people with two different personalities is such a key to parenting, because our girls have the benefit of having two different perspectives and life views, right? I mean, would you agree with that?
Yes.
That sometimes when mommy is really dug into a particular concept, well, daddy can say, well, let's move on for right now. And there's a balance there. I think the differences that we have benefit our girls because they balance out
how
they're parented. Okay, so what would you say to those people who have different parenting styles, and maybe they're just not on the same page? Like, maybe there are people like me who are very rules focused, and there are, the other parent is really fun focused. What would you say to those folks?
I I always try to back you up, and especially, I mean, in front of the, I mean, always, but in front of the girls. And even if I don't necessarily agree with
how dug in I am on a certain issue.
You know, they'll, if they come to, they're, you know, mom's being unreasonable or mom's being mean, you know, I tell them, no, mom's not being mean, and try to back you up on that. But then also maybe if I can get you to the side or something, you know, say, hey, I don't know, you know, maybe this is not as big a deal, or, you know, maybe you need to ease up, or, you know, whatever it is. If it's something that, you know, maybe we don't see eye to eye, or that I would handle differently. I mean, but I'd make sure to not undercut you with them. So that way, because again, they need to know that we're a team and we're a unified front.
They get the same answer from mom and from dad.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I will say too, because I do get very focused on rules and consequences and structure, that when you do pull me aside and say, hey, so the thing about, you know, no TV for a month, you say it in a very gentle and kind way. And so I think if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't agree with how my husband or how my wife is handling this, I would say make sure that you pull them to the side and that you ask questions in a very kind, gentle way. Because, you know, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 2 that it's God's kindness that brings us to repentance. It's not God's wrath that brings us to repentance. It's his kindness. And so the more kindly and gently you can talk to your spouse, I think the better results you're going to have. Because you don't come at me and say, I can't believe you said that or made that consequence. Rawr. Like, right. You say, hey, can you tell me what happened there?
Right.
So I don't feel defensive. I feel like I have a chance to tell my side of the story, which is really all I want, just to be understood. And I think it also, again, comes down to prayer. Like, if you're totally on the different page than your spouse, pray that God will give you the wisdom on how to best raise your children to get to know him. Don't pray, hey, make sure Ryan sees things how I see them. Because that's not the humble point of view. God wants us to be on the same team and to talk to him about it. So make sure that you're praying through that. If you're really on totally different pages and you're really frustrated by it, make sure you pray. And remember, you are on the same team. You're just going about the game differently. All right, we are going to end our time here by talking about habits that you can implement. They're super easy, and we do them. And they're not hard or time consuming, but can make your marriage a little bit healthier. So, Ryan, you want to share a couple things?
Sure. So, we have what we call talking time.
Because I like to label everything, and I'm not super tricky.
I did not name that.
I take full responsibility for the name.
But yeah, but it's, you know, it's good. I mean, I know, and again, it's just kind of part of the terminology in our house is, you know, one of us I'll say, oh, hey, remind me tonight during talking time, I have something, you know, whatever it is. And so as soon as the girls go to bed, as soon as we get them up and go to bed, that's before we do anything else, that's when we have talking time. And that's, we kind of go over, it could be just administrative stuff like, hey, here's kind of some stuff that happened today. Here's what's going on tomorrow. But then sometimes it delves into other things, you know, like life plans and, you know, hey, what do you want to do this year? What do you want to do next year? Where do you see us in, you know, doing in 5 years? You know, whatever it is, it goes on those tangents as well. But whatever it is, we have something every night that we talk about.
Yeah, and it's unstructured, which is unlike me.
Right.
Because it's not like I could give y'all a PDF list of like, here are 12 questions to ask during talking time. Like, it's just...
But it's also good because I think there are some things that, you know, they'll come up during the day that I think, oh, I need to talk to Jill about that because we need to plan on that, you know, in this summer or whatever it is, you know. But I know, okay, I'll, you know, there may be a hard time to come talk about it during the day, but I know, okay, there's a time for that. And so I know I can say, hey, remind me tonight during talking time, I want to talk about X, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever. So,
And talking time, also to be clear, is not like an hour and a half. It is not like our whole evening.
Yeah, usually it's just like 5 or 10 minutes, if that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's longer. It just, you know.
Yeah, it kind of depends. I think another thing is recognizing a healthy habit. It's just the mindset to recognize that your spouse is wired differently from you on purpose, and to recognize those good qualities. And that may look like spending 3 minutes as you drive to the grocery store today to think about what you like about your spouse's personality. But I will never forget, I think we've been married, it was less than a year maybe. We've been married less than a year, and we were in our apartment, and it was a Saturday morning. And for some reason, we decided we were going to swap personalities, which probably means I came up with the idea and Ryan was super kind to go along with it. So I pretended to be Ryan's personality and Ryan was me. And it was eye-opening because I was mellow and chill and relaxed and watched golf. And Ryan literally jumped on the couch and talked a million miles a minute and asked, what are we going to do today? Should we do this today? Should we call these people? What about lunch? What are we going to do for dinner? And I was like, is that what I'm like? And he was being very sweet. I was in no way offended. It was super fun. But it was really eye-opening to me to see, oh, I am high energy and high intensity. And God loved this man for loving me so well that he just lets me be me. So after that moment, I had a whole new mindset on how patient and kind and gentle he was with me, because we were supposed to trade personalities for the whole day, and I lasted 1 hour with myself. Like, we have to switch back. I can't do it. And so Ryan has been married to me for 20 years, not an hour, 20 years. I couldn't handle myself for 60 minutes. That's how much of a handful I am. So thank you. Thank you for putting up with me. I know you love me. I know you love me. All right. What else? Got a couple more things.
So at night we spend time together. Like, it's just part of our natural, what we do. And that's usually just maybe watching TV or something, watching a show or, whatever it is. But, you know, once it's our time in the evening, we typically spend it together. It's not like I say, okay, well, I'm going to go watch this show and you go do whatever you're going to do. And
we decide together.
Yeah. We say, well, hey, what do you want to, watch this? You want to watch that? And we decide together, because we know up front, whatever we're going to do, it's going to be something together. So, we spend time together.
Yeah. Our default.
It's pretty simple, but we spend time together. So,
and I think the last thing I would say as a habit that's super easy, if you haven't already read The 5 Love Languages, I would strongly encourage you to do that, because that has, again, been transformational in how I love Ryan, because Ryan's top love language is acts of service. So I know that assisting him and helping him and figuring out ways to make his life easier is how he knows he is loved and respected. And so I will ask him, hey, how can I help you? Like, what do you need? And I remember, I think I'd started a job or something. I was like, well, what's the most important thing when you come home that is ready? And you said, I don't like dirty dishes in the sink when I come home. I was like, well, that's easy. Like, that's an act of service. Like, I put dishes in the dishwasher, and it's not that I do it perfectly. It's not every day, no. People. But more often than not.
And I do dishes too.
And he does. Yes. Yeah. We'll give you credit also for doing dishes, friend. But that was important to him. Like, we didn't have breakfast dishes when he came home at 5 p.m. Yeah. So, and Ryan knows mine is words of affirmation.
Yes.
Lots of words.
Yes, which I'm not a talker. So, but I try to overcome that and, you know, make sure to give you plenty of words of affirmation and tell you you're great because you are. So.
Thank you. I'll just listen to this recording when I have a bad day. I'm like, oh, that's so great. All right, sweet friends. Thank y'all so much for listening. We hope that we have helped you navigate on some level personality differences in marriage, personality differences as you parent, and then some very easy habits that have been super helpful to our marriage. So thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon. Bye, friends.